Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Recapping the 2026 NFL Draft for your Green Bay Packers this morning. And they did address their positions of need. For weeks leading into the draft, we talked about the cornerback position, needing to upgrade the talent there. We talked about the defensive line, even though they have Micah Parsons. What is that going to look like going forward? They addressed that. And then they sprinkled in a kicker, just for fun, moving up from the 7th round to the 6th. To grab Trey Smack from Florida, who is expected to compete for the starting kicking job. So the big question, of course, after the draft and after they figure out all of these slots on the roster, is how much closer does Brian Gutekunst think that this team he has assembled, to getting them to the Super Bowl? Take a listen to Brian Gutekunst. Nope, we'll take a minute. Joshy's giving me the wave off. Gabe, I'll ask you before we get to Brian Gutekunst.
Okay.
How much closer are they to being a Super Bowl team after this draft?
This draft was never going to determine if the Packers were a Super Bowl contender or not. Because the roster, again, we're looking for depth pieces. And when you don't have a first-round pick, yeah, maybe a second-round pick certainly can help you. But I still think the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. This was never going to make or break them because the roster is in a spot where it's more about competition for backup spots, and these guys could be contributing down the line when other people leave. Like, as much as I like the Chris McClellan pick, I don't know how much he's going to be playing this year. Probably going to play a whole heck of a lot next year after they sort out what's happening on the defensive line. Whether or not they decide they want to keep, Javon Hargrave for more than a year based on the way that contract is. Whether or not Devontae Wyatt is sticking around. Right now he's a rotational piece, and I don't think he's going to be, certainly he's going to have some sort of impact in 2026, but he's going to have a bigger impact in 27 and 28. Dennis Sutton, Josh's guy DDS. Yeah, maybe he becomes a bigger piece as the season moves along. But again, I think it's more about the future after somebody like maybe Lucas Van Ness is no longer on this roster because the Packers are not going to give him that fifth-year option. So his future in Green Bay is in doubt. This roster, I guess, honestly, the one who could have the biggest impact, whether or not the Packers are playing in the Super Bowl, is probably the one I've got the biggest issue with, and Trey Smack. If he ends up beating out not just Brandon McManus, but also Lucas Haversick, because as we saw with McManus, the kicker ends up being such an important part, but I still think it's an uphill battle for Smack in order to make the roster and beat out the two incumbents.
It's just the question marks. I went through some of them, but you still have the question marks. All right, Micah Parsons, Tucker Kraft, and Zach Tom. How quickly can they get back up to where they were playing before? Right? Those are more question marks. Yes, this is a Super Bowl roster, but with a Super Bowl roster, you need a lot of luck, and they didn't have luck last year. They just didn't.
I mean, Chewy, I would say, again, the example of that is the last couple of seasons going into the year, I would have said the San Francisco 49ers probably have a Super Bowl roster. They didn't make the playoffs 2 years ago, and this past season, they were still pretty beat up going into the postseason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be the example to use.
So let's hear. Go ahead, Chu.
It's just injuries. I mean, they're going to have injuries. It's just you can't have a bunch of injuries at the same position, and you can't lose multiple A players or studs. No one can weather that. So, and then 60% of it falls. It's just the way it goes. 60% of it is Jordan Love. If Jordan Love has an MVP top three type season, that covers up a lot of scars, So you hate to say that much is on a player, but it really is.
Well, I'll take it one step further, and I'll piggyback off of this comment from John on the YouTube stream. He says, getting to the Super Bowl is about coaching. Matt LaFleur doesn't have it. So, Chu, you're saying that Jordan Love plays a big role in whether or not this team gets to the Super Bowl or not. And John is saying it's going to be about how Matt LaFleur calls this offense, how he manages the clock, how he manages the team as a whole. I tend to agree that those things are probably bigger than what the roster looks like today at the end of April. But let's hear from Brian Gutekunst, who talked about whether or not he believes this team is closer to getting to the Super Bowl.
For many years, but how much closer do you feel over the last 3 days that you and the team got to the ultimate goal of obviously getting back to the Super Bowl and winning?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're looking at the draft, I mean, you know, most seasons are determined by the guys that are coming back, not necessarily the guys you're getting to the draft. These guys are just starting their NFL journey, and there's so much in front of them. And I feel really good about all of them, you know, and I think they're going to have, you know, a chance to have an opportunity to be very good players in this league. But, you know, you don't win the Super Bowl during the draft, you know. But certainly I felt like over the course of the 3 days that we did some good things to help our football team and help the group that's coming back. You know, it remains to be seen how these guys' NFL careers will go.
Felt like a cop-out. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying that Brian Gutekunst by saying, I don't know how much these guys will help us get to the Super Bowl. But if you believe that the Packers' window is currently open, which I believe we all do, especially with the way that Jordan Love has been playing, especially with the way that they have committed draft capital, the Micah Parsons situation, they're paying guys to be solid contributors, big on production. It feels like this window is wide open. And so I would say that while the window is open, Goody, you have to take every opportunity to improve your roster. And that's what the draft is. So I know he's sitting here saying, well, the jury's still out on whether or not these guys are going to. I'm sorry. They have to. In some capacity, they have to contribute to getting you closer to a Super Bowl. Otherwise, what's the point? And look, it could be, Gabe, that he thinks that last year's roster, if healthy, is a Super Bowl contending team. And therefore, as I said earlier, these are just sort of addendums, accoutrement, if you will. But like in any case, they have to help contribute in some way. Maybe it's the way that they contribute to the locker room from a dynamic standpoint. Maybe it's the way they push the starters. But why do a draft at all if it's not going to contribute to the ultimate goal of getting to the Super Bowl?
Well, but you're also at the mercy of how good the draft is. And if we're talking about it not being great depth, you know, then how much of these guys can they? If it takes a little bit more seasoning, if there aren't as many NFL-ready players in this year's draft, then you're kind of, which is the explanation that Goody gave for giving up the 2 7th-rounders and moving up to get Trace Mack. So if the draft isn't that deep, I guess I can't expect these players to have that much of an impact. Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to have some of an impact. If you make the opening day roster, if you make the practice squad, if you're going to be active on game day, you're ultimately going to have some sort of impact. But yeah, I'm not expecting, just again, based on where the roster was heading into the season, I'm not expecting a huge impact out of this draft class versus, you know, the 2024 draft class where Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams all were able to step up and be starters because those were positions that were available for them to step up and take and be contributors onto a defense in 2024.
They just have to step up, and injuries is the easiest one. Like when a guy's injured, you know, if you're playing the Cleveland Browns and Keyshawn Nixon's out or Hargrave is out, they have to come in and just keep it all together. They can't be a liability. You can't put, you know, the corner they drafted in the second round with Keyshawn out and get toasted, you know? Just got to get him. It's kind of like Malik Willis, you know? All right, Jordan's going to be out for 2 games. It's got to be a totally different game plan. Malik, just don't lose it for us. Do what you do and get us until Jordan is back. It's kind of the same thing with these young guys. You know, you can't be playing the Cleveland Browns and two of their D linemen are out and all of a sudden you give up 220 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that, you know. Like you said, Gabe, they're not projected to be starters, but contributors is what you need from a draft class like this.
So you said something earlier, too, and it just got me thinking, so I want to ask the question. And I'm curious what everyone's answers here are, because a big part of your formula to win a Super Bowl, what you believe it takes to win a Super Bowl. A players got to play like A players. Some C's got to play like B's. Maybe a B has to play like A. How many A players do you need, and who are those A players for the Packers?
Well, obviously Jordan's an A player on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker Kraft.
Yep.
Watson.
Oh, you would put Watson on that list?
Yeah, because I just think if he's... I just have questions about Reed right now bumping up to a one or a two.
So, yeah, I wrote down six names with a question mark next to... Or excuse me, five names with a question mark next to a six.
Gabe, I'm not saying they are A's. I'm saying they have to play like A's.
Okay.
How many A's do you need on the offensive line? You guys keep mentioning Zach Tom. Is that enough?
I don't think you need any.
I mean, I would prefer for there to be more. I would
I just look at our offensive line when we won it all. We didn't have any. We had solid Bs across the board that played very well together. You know, I would say the only A potential is Zach Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Xavier McKinney?
Yeah, that
him
was
on my list.
That was on my list.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Josh Jacobs? I mean, he wasn't an A last year, but the year before he was clearly an A.
I would
say
agree.
Say what you want about the offensive line.
I think he can be in any given season.
Yeah.
He is getting older.
You know, maybe he's one of those Bs that plays like an A.
Yeah. I also think both Evan Williams and Endron Cooper have real opportunities to be A players.
So that's where I put Cooper, I put a question mark. Yeah. So the five I wrote down Tom, Love, Kraft, Micah, and Xavier. And then I had a question mark next to Cooper. Because I think he has the potential to be an A player. I just don't think he has done it yet.
Right.
Gabe, he's one of those B players that has to play like an A.
So all of this is tied together because we started this conversation talking about how much closer the Packers are to being a Super Bowl team with the addition of this draft class. And I think it is important to mention something that Gabe sort of touched on, which is that no draft exists in a vacuum. This draft this year is predicated, well, we know wholly on last year's acquisition of Micah Parsons, but similarly in what they did in last year's draft. And you mentioned some of those players who have popped, who you hope will continue to grow in their roles. So when that happens, the GM doesn't have to focus as much attention on those positions. They can put their attention elsewhere, which is what Brian Gutekunst did I keep using your term, Chewy, carpetbagging. The fact that they went out and got St. Juice this offseason, the fact that they dedicated two draft spots to cornerbacks. They clearly want an upgrade at that position, and that is a byproduct of some of the other things that have come down the stretch. So as I sit here and try to say, did this draft get them closer to the Super Bowl? In and of itself, no. But the way that it fits in the puzzle with the other things that they have done, I have to say yes. Because the way that Brian Gutekunst attacked this draft was from a position of luxury, which is that the roster was really damn good headed into last season, throughout last season, barring the injuries, and he had the luxury of just sort of sprinkling on some additions.
But there are two players that cannot get hurt. Two players, and that's it. If they get hurt, one of them's hurt, they're done. You're done.
And those are?
The two that got hurt last year.
Well, Jordan Love, I would argue.
Jordan Love is one,
and Micah Parsons
and Micah.
Is
Love
two.
Because
without Micah Parsons on this defense, they're a middle of the road.
But Chew, you made the point earlier.
Unless
DDS,
there it is.
DDS.
How long are we going to listen?
If he ends up being a 10 sack guy, Chewy, you're never going to hear the end of this.
Hey, I stopped with the golden stuff. Okay.
Did you?
I don't bring that up anymore.
What? Since when? This week? Since today?
Right.
Because you brought it up last week.
When's the last time I brought it up?
Last week.
Last week.
What did I say?
Well, I don't bring it up all that often, but Matthew Golden.
Yeah,
I was right about that. Josh was wrong.
And I think retroactively, I can grade myself as correct, seeing as how things went with Romeo Doubs and where he went and how he got paid.
They just misused him. And also, I think the fact that Matt LaFleur said that it didn't really work.
Yeah. Yeah, everything we did last year was bad at this position. We changed it. Wholesale change.
Led to some disgruntledness, guys not
so retroactively,
understanding
that's a win for me.
Their roles.
Isn't that funny?
Wait, who are you, Chewy? Are you applying his standards to you?
Exactly.
That's not how any of this works. You don't get to apply his standards to you.
I learned at the knee.
Should work. One last thing, though, as you mentioned, Jordan Love and Micah Parsons as the guys who cannot get injured. Chewy, something you said earlier in the show actually is has merit, which is because you allowed Dontayvion Wicks to go, because you allowed Romeo Doubs to go, I don't know how much they can afford a major injury at the wide receiver position.
Yeah,
so Christian Watson, who has dealt with injury throughout his career, if he gets hurt, you know, to your point, you don't have all of those guys kind of just waiting in line to get in to be pass catchers. You need Tucker Kraft to be healthy, and I think you need Christian Watson to be healthy in order for this offense to work. So that makes me slightly nervous. I won't say totally nervous, but slightly nervous.
That's part of the luck, you know? That all goes with the luck.
I guess I'd just rather roll the dice with what they're doing now than have all the depth seeing as how it
totally
played out.
Agree. In case it isn't clear, in case I haven't been clear, yes, I am completely on board with the this is your role, this is your role, this is your role, go out there and crush it in your role, and if somebody gets hurt, we'll figure it out versus, well, I don't know who's going to get the ball on this one. Let me just spin the wheel and see.
Maybe Bo Melton could get some reps here and we could see what he can do. Well, maybe, what if we didn't do that? What if we just gave the ball to Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Matthew Golden?
Right. And Tucker Kraft. And Tucker Kraft.
Yes. Josh, I got bad news for you. I don't think Bo Melton's going anywhere. I think he's going to still be playing wide receiver.
Well, right. But the good thing is there's not guys, there's less guys you can point to being, shouldn't he be on the field more?
Sure.
It's going to be like, okay, he probably got a couple snaps over Savion Williams. Whatever. We can live with that.
I'll still be interested to see what the teardown looks like. You know?
I think what
when
he means
said he's
is
tearing
the...
down the offense and starting fresh.
Oh, okay. Now you were way off, weren't you?
I thought he was saying like the tear down of snap counts, like the breakdown.
Yeah. That makes sense.
No, he's talking about the tearing down to the studs of the going back to year one of the offense.
I want to see what that means.
Sort of feels like what we did when Devontae Adams was here.
That picture's starting to become a little more clear.
We didn't play. Everyone gets a trophy and a juice box at the end of the day. We played our good guys and gave them the ball a lot. A
couple orange slices.
Right.
Keep the energy up.
Refresh your home with roofing, siding, or windows from Xfinity Exteriors. They bring us our Twitter poll each and every day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's all backed by their lifetime workmanship warranty, InfinityExteriors.com. I have an interesting comment on the Carbless Talk and Text line. And I want you guys to weigh in on whether or not you agree that this is true. We'll do that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363. What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a Great Midwest Bank Mortgage Monday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Rates change, needs change. Great Midwest Bank can help you explore a refi that better fits where you are today. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. Okay. We're waiting for Chewy to reemerge.
From the bathroom?
No, bathroom door open, wide open. So somewhere else.
Pump the brakes. He leaves that door open.
Well, I can't see his leg. Usually I can see his leg in the in the shot.
As he shakes
there.
Off and walks away.
On the YouTube stream.
Sometimes you got to do the shake, Josh. He's got to make sure it's, you know.
So we are efforting.
The squirt gun
Chewy,
is empty,
if you will. Whoa. That's a weird jinx. So this is the comment from Jeff in the 414. That came through on the Carbless Talk and Text line. He says, the biggest position of need has not been filled. Until that need is filled, there will not be a Super Bowl appearance in Green Bay. That position is head coach. There seems to be still some criticism, some concern about Matt LaFleur being the guy tasked with leading this roster, with leading this Super Bowl. Hey, welcome back. Hi. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Okay. Chewy's back.
Crows in my garden that are really bothering me right now.
You have what in the
crows?
Garden?
Crows?
Yeah. Maybe I should get Angie's squirt gun and squirt them.
Oh, that would work.
I mean, I don't know. How close can you get with the squirt
gun
she's got?
But also, don't crows notoriously have, like, memory? Crows, you don't want to hack off crows.
I mean, I think you just put a scarecrow out there.
A scare chew.
Yeah, exactly. If I only had a brain.
Chewy, before you joined us, I was mentioning this comment on the YouTube, in the Carbless Talk and Text line, rather. The biggest position of need has not been filled, and until that need is filled, there will not be a Super Bowl appearance in Green Bay. That position is head coach. Do you agree with criticism that this can be the best Super Bowl roster anybody has ever assembled, but as long as Matt LaFleur is leading the charge, they will fall short?
I don't think from an offensive play calling or an offensive minded standpoint, I think he struggles more with running a team, you know, with guys that are disgruntled that sound like that became a problem in the locker room. You know, there have been a handful of things throughout the years that question whether he's tough enough on players. It is a dance because players today are a lot different than back when I played, but I think from an X's and O's standpoint, he's good. It's a very good. That's why I'll be so interested to see what this teardown, starting from the foundation and building it back up. Is that did his philosophy change as far as reps with guys and let your best players be on the field for predominantly most of the game? Or is it an X's and O's type thing? Like Josh Jacob, you know, wanting to run the ball out of shotgun. That shouldn't even be an issue. You don't give players that kind of power, you know? It's just, you know, it's more me, it's more the peripheral stuff than the X's and O's. So that would be my question.
Yeah, I'm curious, and again, if they're stripping it down, they're kind of going back to year one stuff, because I think they probably have gotten away from some of that stuff, whether it's running out of shotgun and it just the offense evolves. And I'm really curious that first year Josh Jacobs, if they end up running out of shotgun more if Jordan doesn't get hurt in that first game. Because then they end up going out of shotgun because Malik Willis, and it was just easier to do that and do the read option, kind of some of the stuff that they were doing in week two, and Josh had some success, and then you wanted to kind of stay out of the shotgun to kind of protect Jordan so he doesn't have to move it around as much, and it just kind of snowballs that way. So I am curious to see if that is included in part of the teardown of kind of going back to the basics of what this offense looked like. I think the Packers can win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur. Because if I believe that they can't, like, okay, that I guess we're not watching the upcoming season. If you think that they can't win a Super Bowl because of Matt LaFleur, I think that they have enough talent. LaFleur's a good enough play caller that they should be able to get it done.
I won't go as far as to say I don't think they can win with Matt LaFleur, because certainly if the roster's good enough and looks like it did at times last year and they keep those guys healthy, like, at some point, there's just so much talent, you can't screw it up. Do I think he's been a detriment more than an additive in the past two seasons? I do. And I think he struggles with getting into trends. Think no further than every single person on the defense saying, the ball's going here. Because they got into such a predictable state that they were able to say, based on film of the previous games, this is how you stop this. This is where they're going. This is what they like to do. I also think back to the way they were getting baited into running the ball, despite it not working and never working for weeks, because they knew the offensive line wasn't good enough to hold up. I also think pointing to, and it's not being taken as a criticism, but guys not being happy is your fault.
Mm-hmm.
That is the head coach's fault. It's nowhere else, and he sort of skated in that and sort of said, like, it's on the guys. And to an extent, it is. But everything he's done, and how many times in big moments is he making absolutely puzzling decisions or sitting on his hands and not doing anything? Think no further than the luck that they had against the Dallas Cowboys as the clock was expiring. Everybody watching was going, what are they doing? And then they went back and, well, they just weren't ready. They weren't. You're the coach. You're in his headset. His mic doesn't turn off at that point of the game. And those are the type of things that I think when it comes to it and games get close, I don't trust him. I think he's a great play caller. I think he can be great at the scheme, with sometimes it gets stale. But I think he has a lot of ways to go. And I think last year he was searching.
And I can't help but wonder if Brian Gutekunst, as he orchestrates some of these moves, look no further than the wide receiver situation, is to sort of, hear me out, dummy-proof the offense, right? It's almost as though Brian Gutekunst thinks that Matt LaFleur was paralyzed by choices, right? Paralysis by analysis. And he's going, you know what? If we just eliminate some of these choices that Matt LaFleur has in front of him and make it very clear what we expect from him running this offense, he can't screw it up. Right? You're going to give the ball to Tucker Kraft. You're going to give the ball to Christian Watson. You're going to mix in some Jaden Reed. You're going to mix in the second-year player Matthew Golden, right? We're going to run Josh Jacobs as long as he's healthy. And then, I don't know. I've still got a question mark there. We can talk about that as the show goes on. But the point is, I think the best thing to happen to Matt LaFleur was his grade from his players going from an A- to a B-. I think that was a huge wake-up call for Matt LaFleur. And I think it's part of the reason why he is now reevaluating some of the things that he thought would work that haven't worked, and the wide receiver situation of him admitting the errors of basically saying we're going to pivot, you know, we're not going to be spreading the ball around as much as we did, is a good indication that he saw the error of his ways and that he's willing to make those changes.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think Brian Gutekunst sort of said as much without throwing Matt LaFleur fully under the bus. He said, we are disappointed with the role some guys got and the lack of opportunity. Who else is that? Who else is responsible for that? That would be the head coach who's putting those guys on and off the field and scheming up plays for them. Like, to me, it seems pretty obvious. They looked at it and said, this isn't right.
But I don't want to have Goody escape any of the criticism either. Because I think part of the reason this team gets tight is because they've been so damn young in these games. And they haven't been in the right opportunities because he wants them to be young year in and year out. And Goody has also pivoted away from the way he has done things, adding a couple of more veterans, especially on that defensive side of the football. Going out and replacing, not using a draft pick, maybe because you had a lack of draft picks, but okay, we need a new inside linebacker. All right, Zaire Franklin, you're a veteran. Come on down. We need help on the interior. All right, Javon Hargrave, you've got a great relationship with Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan, go get your guy. And I think adding those veterans, especially just hearing you talk, Chew, about how much veterans helped you when you were young.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have really good coaches. And we've run through the litany of tremendous coaches that you guys had in the 90s behind Mike Holmgren. But also, you learned a lot from Ed West, right? You learned a lot from Keith, even when Keith Jackson showed up. And that's only something that you can learn from another player, even though Andy Reid is going to be one of the greatest coaches in NFL history.
But to what Joshy said earlier, I question whether the guy's a micromanager, whether he doesn't listen to his assistants. Because when it came for me and Keith having playing time, that didn't come from Holmgren. Holmgren it trusted Andy Reid and Mooch and all those guys and Gil Haskell. Look, you tell them when you're going in. You know, so I still question whether the guy's a micromanager and just tries to control everything. And you said, you know, the games are sometimes a disaster at the end. Is it because he's not listening to assistants? You know, with Holmgren, Andy would constantly chirp in his ear, you know. All right, you're looking at, and we would be ahead. You have to be ahead of things in the NFL, right? So if it's third and six, coaches on the sideline would be going, all right, Y personnel, which is bigs, get ready, because if it's fourth and one, you know, you're kind of already making that decision before the play before is even run. You know, you have to be ahead of the game. When you're a play caller, I mean, you got to be three plays ahead of the call, the play you're calling right now, because that's how you think it's going to work out. You shouldn't be going, oh, you know, it started at first and 10, it went to second and 2, now we're in third and 8. Oh, sugar, what do I run? You know, that stuff should just be in your head naturally. Now, sometimes you get play calling writer's block or whatever you want to call it.
Sometimes that works. That.
Play caller's writing block.
Yeah.
I totally
most times it
what
should
you
be,
saying.
You know, most like times Coach Klein? Be, oh, third and six. All right. I already know what I'm running. I'm running our best play. And that's what they did with Devontae, you know?
Well, because you knew Devontae was going to get open. Doesn't matter what's happening.
Gabe, it's Devontae's like, who cares open. About the route? Devontae's better than whatever corner he's going up against.
Correct.
So just call this, let him do his thing, and we're off and running.
800-990-3776, reaction rolling in to this. So many organizations would love to have LaFleur. The disrespect is insanely unwarranted. That from Mario in the 262. Again, we are responding to this inquiry from, or comment rather, from Jeff in the 414, who says, the biggest position of need has not been filled. Until that need is filled, there will not be a Super Bowl appearance in Green Bay. That position is head coach. 800-990-3776. We're reacting to, is Matt LaFleur what is going to keep the Packers from a Super Bowl? If you like the moves that Goody has made over the last few years, Micah Parsons included, is Matt LaFleur the reason they will not be a Super Bowl team in the upcoming season, or at least during this window, while this window is open for the green and gold. Let us know, 800-990-3776. You can do that on the Infinity Exteriors Twitter poll. Refresh your home with roofing, siding, or windows, all backed by a lifetime workmanship warranty. InfinityExteriors.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer?
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we continue breaking down the Packers 2026 NFL Draft. And as Chewy mentioned at the start of the show, grades abound, and they run anywhere from an A to a D for what the Green Bay Packers did. Dane Brugler over at The Athletic doesn't give letter grades to each franchise, but he does rank them. And I was shocked, honestly, truly, to see the Packers at 26th in Dane Brugler's draft rankings. Again, they only had six picks. They had eight. Right? Seven.
Then eight.
Eight turned it into six. They took those 2 7th round picks and turned it into the one for the Green Packers. And there was another move early in the middle.
They had traded one of their fifths to move up in the third. Now, they moved up in the third to get Chris McClellan. They wanted to move up again for DDS, and then he ended up falling them in the fourth.
And he does say that DDS, deny Dennis Sutton, the edge out of Penn State, is his favorite pick. But he also says that Brandon Cisse was a quality pick, especially outside the top 50. Chris McClellan should be a solid role player for a long time. And then he talks about DDS's value at 120, makes him the favorite pick. He doesn't perform up to his testing numbers. He's a commanding presence who plays with force on defense and special teams. So positive, 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 attribute, 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 26th across the board.
But you said why? They don't have a first-round pick, and they only have six guys. So you don't have depth because you only had six picks, and you don't have a top of the line. Like, the Jets had three first rounders, you know? So you don't have, if you're just ranking them 1 through 32, and typically you're going to rank these on immediate impact, I'm not shocked by that number given the Packers' first pick came at 52. Is not an obvious immediate starter, and they only have six draft picks.
What's interesting is Brugler had Cisse about a month ago as the 25th overall prospect.
Interesting.
And then he ended up dropping him with some of the guys coming up late through the system. That happens all the time. He was fairly, I think he had DDS in the 60s, if I remember correctly, from his breakdown. So I think mainly they're missing. It's just not a first rounder, and the fact they didn't have a bunch of picks.
Yeah,
that's probably the biggest.
100%.
But as we mentioned earlier, Chu, yes, I suppose. But then you have to accept that this is being viewed in a vacuum, apropos of nothing. Because if the Packers had a really good roster like we believe they did last year, you're not out here going, we need, you know, this big piece and this big piece and splash and impact and immediate impact and all of that. No, it seems like Brian Gutekunst and company needed the edges, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. He's basically putting the finishing touches on the house. And so it's a little, you're right, yeah, if I'm grading the difference between the living room and the trim in the powder room, yeah, I suppose the living room is going to get a higher grade than the trim in the powder room, but I feel like we're at the trim in the powder room portion of the program here.
I also think if you zoom out and look at the money available to them next year in free agency and the 11 picks they currently have, which Goody said he'd like to have 20 if he can,
he's got to overcompensate for landing six this year, I guess.
He's got to get that average back to double digits.
you can make the case of, like, they saw an opportunity on probably the first four or five guys, and then after that we're like, next year's the year we add more youth to this roster.
But, I mean, they shouldn't be dinging you for not a it'd be one thing if they traded the first round pick for Ryan Leaf. Okay, then maybe ding you for that, but
sure. But if you're,
there isn't a team on this planet that wouldn't have done the deal that the Packers did to get Micah Parsons.
100%. So, but if you're looking at these six guys and comparing them to, again, the Jets probably had like 12 picks and three first rounders. Like, the Jets are going to grade higher than the Packers because they have more players and more impact players.
And because they've been El Stinko.
Yeah,
right?
Correct.
The reason you put yourself in this position 100% is because you're terrible at playing football.
Yeah, so it's not, this isn't a, this is the quality of the team. It's just like, it's a small draft class, and you're probably not going to have any guys that are making huge immediate impacts in 2026. Yeah. That's all it is. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just, it makes a ton of sense given the way everything played out over the weekend.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Reaction rolling into our question about Matt LaFleur. We'll get to some of that as we wrap up the show right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I would say James Earl Jones because he's more grandfathery.
Yeah, Darth Vader was super grandfathery. Yeah.
Very loving.
Those Star Wars number one are horrible. The best one was Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, you know who's in that?
Who?
James Earl Jones.
Where?
Dip bleep. He is the voice of Darth Vader.
Are you sure?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we wrap things up. I am intrigued by this perception that it doesn't matter how good of a roster Brian Gutekunst puts together, what he adds via the draft. As long as Matt LaFleur is manning this ship, captaining this ship, Packers will fall short of a Super Bowl. And the questions and the reactions are rolling in fast and furious. Rudy says, I think LaFleur is a great coach with some bad habits. Gotta break them and we're good. Jaws in MKE says, Matt LaFleur deserves some smoke, but Goody going largely unscathed always gets to me. He should get credit for the Micah trade, but you don't have to make that trade if LVN and Gary weren't weak, high first-round picks. And then Chris says this, Chew, and I'll leave you with this. If we're going to ask the question on Matt LaFleur, then we have to say, who are you replacing him with? Who's your alternative? That from Chris in the 920. Fair?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not in the front office. I'm not making hirings. There's plenty of good coaches out there. Thousands of them.
Hard to know who, because again, when the Packers hired Matt LaFleur, who knew who Matt LaFleur was?
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing with Mike McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl.
Right. Sean McVay. Kyle Shanahan, you could see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, had a famous last name.
So you're saying that fans don't need to be responsible. Go ahead, Chew.
What's acceptable? I mean, if he doesn't make playoffs, he's getting canned like tuna. He's still
there,
on the hot
be,
seat.
There could be some
signed
qualifiers in there, too, like if they lose Jordan Love and injury stinks. Yes. And I think there's some qualifiers. If they stay healthy and miss the playoffs, I would agree. I think he's gone.
And I don't think it's enough to just make the playoffs. Everybody's been, you know, barking about that seventh seed, early exits. You got to make a run, man. You got to make a deep run in the postseason. If Brian Gutekunst's draft told us anything, it's that he thinks they're close. And he addressed the positions where he thought they needed help. And so now it's go out there, take the ingredients I've given you, and make me a gosh darn meal. Make me a fantastic meal. I know. Thanks, Josh. He's laughing at me back there because he knew what I wanted to say.
Uh-huh. I was proud of you.
That's growth. Look at me and Matt LaFleur. We're growing right before your very eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if there are a couple of injuries, again, not even necessarily in the big ones that we were talking about, depending upon how that depth holds up, then that light gets shined right back on Goody.
Yeah.
More NFL draft conversation coming your way right now on ESPN Milwaukee with Wilde and Tausch.